Hello, welcome to the JDT Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Tucker, and we are here again for another wonderful show. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. Today, I will be having a fantastic co-host with me today that's going to be joining the episode with me, which is my auntie, Beverly Childress. She's grown throughout her years of accounting with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which she started as a student at Georgia State University in Atlanta, Georgia. And she also started her career as a part-time sales rep for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, selling newspapers. She also has a background while with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution of being the national accounting executive, where she covered firms in LA, New York, Miami, and other big cities across the country as the national rep for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Some of these accounts that she held covered media, manufacturing, and technology. So now, without any further introduction needed, I'm going to bring my aunt Beverly to the show. Hey, how you doing, Auntie? I think we're having a little connection issue. If I could get you to like move your microphone around a little bit for me, just so I can hear you a little bit better.
Is that better?
That's better. So as I was explaining while doing your introduction, I gave a little brief intro about your tenure with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which you were started off while a student at Georgia State as a part-time sales rep with the AJC, and you built yourself all the way up to the national accounting executive for LA, New York, Miami, and other cities across the country. So I guess diving right into it, how was the beginning while you were a student at Georgia State University?
Well, Jacob, I'm glad you asked me that. It takes me back to having to be very persistent to have the opportunity to work at the newspaper. My class would start early in the morning, and then I would have a break midday. So that gave me a chance to walk around, walk up the street, and talk to the newspaper. I was determined to work for the AJC, as I had made up my mind before coming to college that I wanted to work at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So I would go to the newspaper and I'd go to their personnel office. This was long before you had to submit an application online and everything like that. We did everything manually. You could literally walk into a business and apply for a job on the spot. Okay. I actually had the opportunity to go directly to the human resources department each time I went. And they would tell me, we don't have anything right now, but try back. So it became a part-time job looking for a job with the newspaper. And every day for, I want to say at least 6 weeks when the HR manager finally realized that I was not going to give up, because she said, I told you we didn't have any jobs at this time. And I said, this is a big company, so I figure somebody could have left yesterday. And I wanted to make sure that I was there to have that opportunity. So it was all about persistence, and I was given the opportunity to get on board. And my first job was a salesperson, but I was calling people to sell them a subscription to the newspaper.
Okay.
That was exciting for me.
Yeah. So what drove you to build yourself to becoming the national accounting executive?
It's actually National Senior Account Executive in Advertising.
Okay.
That's the title. I sold advertising to national media accounts like ABC, NBC Networks, HBO, Showtime, General Electric, apparel manufacturers like Nautica, Timberland. I sold a lot of different manufacturing products from the big guys to the even smaller mom and pop advertisers. And basically what I was selling to those national markets was the demographics of the Atlanta market and how I could deliver those individuals in Atlanta to the businesses and services that were trying to reach our market. So it gave me an opportunity to share the story of Atlanta, the makeup of Atlanta, the household income, the race breakup, I mean the race breakdown, like African-American percentage in the metropolitan Atlanta area. And most of the time, especially dealing with media, we were looking at a designated market area, which was represented in 53 counties throughout the Atlanta and the state of Georgia. So that included Atlanta and over 53 counties throughout the state of Georgia for the media accounts.
Okay.
I hope I'm jumping around too much. It's a lot to take in. So I want to make sure that I'm being clear on the process of what the job entails.
Yeah, definitely. And you're fine with where you're going and everything. So you're covering all of the basics as well as what your job title covered and how you built yourself. So with all of that being stated, as you started off with a part-time position while in college, then went on to graduate from college and went on to take on this big position and role with a national company, what mindset did you have each day to ensure yourself that you weren't going to settle for anything but success?
Well, the interesting thing that happened to me during my first couple of years in college, I was given an opportunity to work full-time at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution 2 years into my college education. So as only having somewhat of an associate level, I was given an opportunity to come on board full-time with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and it required that I have some substantial training after I think it was 6 months selling the actual newspaper when I started.
Uh-huh.
And after 6 months, I was offered an opportunity. Because of my persistence, I was there. I was trying to find out more about my next step. I was always trying to find out where I wanted to go next in the job. I was asking questions because I knew I wanted to make a career. And I had my eye on specifically working in advertising. So I knew from day one, advertising is where I wanted to work. So 6 months in, I had found out about all the different departments throughout the newspaper. And you got to keep in mind now, this was in the 70s.
Yeah.
This was in the late 70s. And newspaper was still very, I'll say the newspaper was going through transition to be more inclusive of African Americans.
Uh-huh.
It was it was 90%, especially in advertising. It was 90, probably 95%. Let's just say I know it was two African Americans that were on the staff in advertising at that time in the 70s.
Okay.
So it was breakthrough that I was facing. So I had to do some other things. I had to do a little zigging and zagging to get to that place.
Yes.
So my first opportunity to work full time at the newspaper was working in circulation, the circulation of the newspaper. And that was an opportunity that I was granted while I was attending school. And when it became a full time opportunity, you couldn't believe how it was mind-blowing that I had this opportunity to get a full-time job at a major newspaper in a major market like Atlanta. And to just kind of put into perspective what the Atlanta Journal-Constitution represented on a national level, it was in the top 10. It was the 8th market for metropolitan areas, and the newspaper was in the top 10 newspapers throughout the entire United States. So it was a behemoth of a company.
Yes.
That was represented in the newspaper industry.
Yes, definitely.
So I hope I'm not getting off point.
No, you're fine.
Down memory lane, you could kind of get caught up.
Yeah, definitely. I understand that. So one thing that I've come to notice with a lot of friends and messages that I get from listeners is that, so I have different listeners who are entrepreneurs or who just want different approaches for them trying to gain their own success and their career path or their entrepreneurship field. As far as mindset and that push that you had to never take no for an answer and not settling until you got there, what was that journey like, as in how persistent did you have to be, and what did you have to do to ensure that you stayed on track for yourself?
It was an everyday effort. Prayer constantly. And I had to learn how to interface with people that treated me indifferently because of the color of my skin. They made assumptions. So that gave me an opportunity to prove them wrong. It gave me an opportunity to show them that I could do just as good of a job if given the opportunity. But I had to consistently ask for that opportunity. I had to consistently insert myself into things that aren't traditionally places that you would see people that look like me. And what I mean by that, when there was a meeting being held or when there was an opportunity to find out more about different things throughout the company, I would take that initiative to involve myself. And then if they said, well, your department is not supposed to be represented here, well, why not? Ask why not? If it's something that's in the way of you getting to what you want in terms of your career or your business or whatever, be persistent. Ask the questions. Stay in front of and top of mind with what you're trying to accomplish. You got to stay focused, and I mean laser focused, because society, even now, I would say now the climate reminds me of how things were in the 70s. Hosea Williams was marching in front of the newspaper. I remember one morning I was going in and I didn't want to go through the line that they were marked, the line, the picket line that was being marching in front of the newspaper, because he was marching for them to bring in more people of color.
Yes.
And the editorial department, all the different departments, because back then they had African Americans represented in circulation and in accounting in only small amount.
Yes.
And then custodial work. And then you had a few in the, as we call it, the mechanical division. But the rest of the building, advertising, marketing, accounting, well, not account, accounting had a few African Americans, but the primary positions in accounting, they were not available to the African American community at that time, or people of color even. So just getting them used to seeing somebody that looked like me, often, more often than not, I was the only person represented in those meetings, or the only person that just stumbled my way into a meeting to find out what is actually going on in the big picture. So that helped me. And I tell you, Jacob, this going down memory lane, boy, oh boy, I'll have to go back to what actually happened with me when I was faced with Hosea Williams, when I was heading into the newspaper, the front of the building, right downtown Atlanta. I'll never forget it. He looked me right in the face, because I was standing there. I didn't want to cross the line, and I had to go to work, though.
Yes.
So he looked at me and said, "Go ahead, go in. This is why we're out here, so that you can go through those doors and work.
Wow.
We're out here fighting for you to be able to work there." And that I will never forget.
Yes. I know one of the things that with the recent passing of Congressman Lewis, I know I posted a picture on my Instagram, on my personal Instagram, of he and I when he had come to LaGrange and spoke at the college. And I just remember when we were posing for a couple of pictures with the newspaper and, you know, just cameras and a cell phone and everything, we were having a short conversation, and he just expressed with me while we had a short prayer together on how he could just see my magnitude and just knew that he could. He said he felt a force over me, and how he knows and could see success for myself and me leading people. I'm not sure yet in which form or fashion he meant, but just to know, as your experience with Hosea was and mine was with Congressman Lewis, just it was a moment, you know, that you won't forget from your life. When you have somebody of such a power on a powerful platform, especially in a time and manner of in the 70s and even today, when you have someone speak those words over you, you know, it definitely touches you in a way that makes you go a little harder, put in that extra work and take that extra mile. Regardless of how you have to get there, you know you have to get there. When you have people watching over you and you know you could be the one to set the standard for the next person to come in and do even bigger and better things, you know. So I definitely understand how that, although short and brief, that moment could be very big and being a motivating factor, you know, to ensure that you got your part done. Because I know one thing that I always think about, regardless of if somebody speaks it over me or if I just have to tell myself, hey, okay, we're sleeping good and all right now, but you got to get the hell up. Like, you got stuff to do. You got a job that has to be done, because you can't allow yourself to slack off right now. Okay, you might have accomplished one goal that you have had set, but now, okay, let's go to the next thing, and so on and so forth, you know?
I like that. It reminds me of something that I heard Oprah Winfrey say. Once you've dreamed and you've accomplished a dream that you had, dream a bigger dream.
Definitely.
And it's outstanding. And that's kind of what happened with me. But I also want to say that I had to be humble in my spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always considered myself a motivator as I was pushing my way forward. And it was done without malice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't blaming others for my not having the opportunity that they had. I was just asking the question, how do I get to where you are?
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters of another race and culture.
Mm-hmm.
So through asking that question, a lot of times when they see that you're not angry, and even though you have a right to be.
Yes.
But that anger, and I will tell you this, I read in a book somewhere, and I remember it to this day. I think it was in the book, The Road Less Traveled.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that it said about anger, it says, anger blows out the light of reason, which means if you're angry, you cannot reason, and without reasoning in any situation,
yes,
you can't accomplish anything. So the most interesting part of my career was constantly having to feed my spirit.
Yeah.
I had to feed my spirit every day because it was a battle.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was a true battle of not just white people, but even the handful of black people that were there. Unfortunately, some black people wanted to be the only black person during that time. I'll never forget this lady that I was so impressed with when I finally did get to advertising. I was working in a inside sales position. This was one of the steps that I had to take before I got to the outside sales and then ultimately to national. This black lady, I had her on a pedestal because she had made it to where I was trying to go. And every time I saw her, I was just encouraged. It was like, yes, you can do this too. She's doing it. You can do it.
Yeah.
The thing that deflated me the most, and I hope this will encourage us as African Americans, to look at ourselves once we do achieve whatever the goals and dreams that we have, is to be mindful of how we treat each other. This lady said to me when I finally became an account executive, she said, we got so many of us in here now that I don't even need to come to the meetings. Now, mind you, at that time, it was her and another lady and me. So it was three African-American women.
Yes.
And about 200 sales reps for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Uh-huh.
And she said it was so many of us that she didn't need to come to the meetings anymore. So wow. You're not just challenged by people of another, I would say that the management style was more inclined to hire Caucasians. And the people that worked on the staff, I found once they got to know me, they were okay as far as I could see. I mean, I was just there to do my job. I wasn't there trying to win friends and influence people.
Yeah.
I was trying to learn my job, to do my job to the best ability. But I did listen and watch what they were doing, and I was in the circle so that I could see what they saw.
Uh-huh.
In order to be able to move forward. Sometimes you have to be in that circle. Sometimes you got to go to those meetings, go to those dinners, go to those events with the others that are in that circle on your job or for your business. You've got to have that exposure so that you know what is going on and where to go in order to find out what you need to know to move up. A lot of times you don't, some people can turn you off, or if you are uncomfortable being the only African American in the room, you kind of have to get over that.
Yeah. And
I mean, fortunately now you have more, and it's a blessing. And I know I was given the opportunity to have the job that I had because of sacrifices that a lot of people made before me.
Uh-huh.
And I don't forget that, and I encourage anyone to remember that somebody helped you to get to where you are and to give back.
Yeah, and that's the thing about that. Some people may just tie that in to only African Americans, but that's literally for any race or any culture. You're not the first breed, you know, you're not the first race or person of your culture to set the standard. There's always been someone before to quote unquote set the standard or that tone, that or even the barrier that you have to come in and go over or go through. So for myself, I know one of the things that is an issue is people making it but not wanting other people who even they may know to get as far along as they've gotten. But when you honestly look at the bigger picture, why not teach a group the information or give them the knowledge of what you know, regardless of if it's black and white or whatever, for anyone to advance or for that position in whichever field of either entrepreneurship, management, sales, any position, for them to advance, somebody has to teach them, show them the in and outs, and pass it on. And it's almost like a trail, you know, where you set out you leave one piece for that next person to follow, So the next person can drop the next piece as they take a forward step. Then that person behind them can follow the next step. So with that being said, if you're not teaching your group or you're in a leadership position and you're not training the next qualified person or even all the way down to the lowest qualified person, that position that you're in, you're failing not only your company or affiliated group that you're with, but you're failing the people that's following behind you as well. I know while we're out here on deployment, how they have us do, the people who are already here doing the job and positions that myself and other people in my unit hold, they, although not placed in a supervisor role, they were able to teach us the in and outs of what we had to do. And now, 2 months later, we have new people coming in, and now myself and other people who came in with me are now going to be giving advice, and we basically went from being the students to now the teachers in certain roles, you know? So I always find it funny when you have certain people who will nag about, why should I teach this group this if all they're going to do is come out and try to beat me at what I'm doing myself? There's nothing wrong with competition. You only can go as far as you put in the effort. You're only going to get out what you put in. I love that saying. And even when I look at Justin, Ms. Sharon's son, Justin, and how he's doing his business and killing the market, killing the game, but he's not being selfish with his. He's holding classes and courses, teaching every step that he takes so that way others can follow in his footsteps and gain their own personal success as well. And I can't think of any better example of how it should be done than how he's doing that. Because if you get a group of people who not only know what they're doing, but also have the mindset that they want to get better at it, that bar is going to constantly go higher and higher and higher and open new doors. So, yes, exactly. That statement, that saying will forever be, you know, be a golden rule, you know, that not just entrepreneurs, but people who want to just have success in a career field or just in life in general, that everyone should follow.
So. You said a powerful, Jacob, and I ditto everything that you said, because through teaching and sharing information, you get so much back in return. Yeah. Everyone has something to offer.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has something. So as you share the information that you've garnered, you have an opportunity to learn from that person that you are sharing with. And that's what's helped me through my career, being willing to honestly be present in a conversation with someone, to honestly be 100% present. You know how you can have a conversation with someone, but you're waiting to talk or respond
Yes.
instead of listening to what that individual is saying. That's how you get those pearls of wisdom. That's how you learn different things that you wouldn't have ordinarily had to come your way. And it takes humility. It takes saying thank you and please. Just those basic, just basic things of thank you and please and respecting people as individuals.
Yes.
That's why also in my career, during times when race relations, it was not that common to see as many African American people or people of color from other, even Asians back then, you were hard-pressed to see anyone during that time in the late 70s in a corporate environment.
Yes.
I remember when I first went to New York to call on the ad agency, I think it was, it was either Wieden and Kennedy, they handled Nike.
Uh-huh.
Or HBO was handled by BBDO, which was a national ad agency. Great Worldwide, they handled a lot of advertising. But I remember when I first went in to talk to the HBO agency, and they were so surprised to see a national account executive from the South that was an African American. They were shocked. They couldn't believe. They even told me, because a lot of them, they've not traveled South. They grew up in the Northeast. They live in the Northeast. And a lot of them were very young.
Yeah.
And they, along the way, they were like, we were thinking it's still like horse and buggy down there, you know? So it was unbelievable how parts of the country during that time were thinking about how we were living, even in the 90s. That's actually when I was in New York in the 90s. They were shocked that the Atlanta Journal had a national account executive, which made sense. We, at that time, we only had two.
Yeah.
Myself and the lady that worked in our travel advertising department. She was an account executive. So we had two African-American account executives for the entire country.
Okay.
For national advertising. But and I'm just jumping around, Jacob, with these thoughts. When you're asking questions or telling about some scenarios, it's making me think about the meat and bread of how, as I would like to say, how I made it over, because it was definitely a lot to overcome.
Yeah, a lot of trials and tribulations.
And I wanted to make that clear, too, on both sides, because as African Americans start to get into roles of management and leadership, we had some people who abused the power that they had. And during that time, a lot of times they would put African Americans in a supervisory role or managerial role,
uh-huh,
that for them simply to control and keep down other African Americans. I don't know if you've ever heard about that. You might not have been familiar with that, but that happened too. So you had your white brothers and sisters who, some of them felt like you didn't belong there because that's a position that could have gone to somebody else of, you know, their friends or whatever. And then a lot of them were open and receptive and helpful. They want to share information with you.
Yes.
But then you had some white and blacks that were not so open.
Yes.
So the biggest and most powerful thing for me, I will tell you, was having maintained a positive attitude in the midst of the most hateful and mean-spirited things that were done. the only way you can fight a mean and hateful situation is with a positive one. Positive wins every time. You have to figure out a way to come back and be positive in any of the situations, the please and thank yous. And in spite of what someone says, you have to be the bigger person and come back with a positive message to them. And the only way you can do that is you pray your way through. You pray your way when you're talking about how you're going to face these people the next day that have tried to sabotage you. But you're going to go back and you're going to say something positive to them. You're not going to allow them to take your power by making you angry. Because that, again, anger, it blows out the light of reason. You don't know where you're going when you're angry.
you're right.
Blind. So I just would like, if you don't, or your listeners don't get anything else from anything that I've said, it's the power of positive thinking and the power of prayer.
Yes, definitely.
Anything, not just through a career, through your business, through anything that you want to do. You gotta have that.
Yes. I know one of my favorite things to tie in, especially while on the subject, is having an alpha mentality. Meaning not in a snobby manner, or you walk in there cocky or arrogant, but something that you and my mom always taught me was in anything, whenever I walk in, whether if it was in sports, business, whatever the case was, walk in knowing that you belong there. You're not just there just for any random reason. You belong in the position that you are in. And that just sticks with me every time, regardless of how much hatred is tossed my way, how many people might talk about me trying to put you down, or just to lift yourself up, because it's not going to always be you being able to talk to someone else or have somebody else there in your corner. There's going to be times when you have to lift yourself up to continue the push and drive. So if you start off by knowing and telling yourself and informing yourself and affirming with yourself that you belong in the position that you are, and you have your eyes straight forward and you're locked and loaded on what you want set, nothing can stop you but you. You set your goal, you set your standard, and you do it. And that goes for any and everything.
You're absolutely right, Jacob. I call that speaking over yourself and feeding your spirit. And the ways that I had the opportunity to feed my spirit was through reading.
Yes.
And through, I used to love to listen to, well, now you can listen to the audio books.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have the XM radio. You can listen to positive and encouraging words to feed your spirit, because things will, I mean, we're human.
Yeah.
And people, even people that mean well, can drain you emotionally.
Definitely.
Trying to help.
Yes.
But you have to feed your spirit, invest in yourself, talk to yourself in positive words, encourage yourself as you encourage others. And that was the thing that I was going to say about encouraging others. you're encouraging them as well as yourself through those words that you're speaking to them. That's why it's important to encourage and motivate others, because you, when you're speaking to them, even though it's coming from you, it's coming back for you, from you, if that makes any sense.
Yes. It's so like paying it forward effect.
Yes, you are encouraging yourself. Yes. Every chance you get to do something to help and make somebody else's day better, you're doing that for yourself.
Yep.
It's unbelievable how rewarding that is. Even if you don't have a word for a person, I like to smile.
Yeah.
To smile at everybody I encounter, because you don't know what that person is going through or been through. Now, some people might not like it, because I used to have people ask me all the time, why are you always smiling? Why are you always so happy? And I'm like, I got a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah.
In the words of Mary Gilbert, I'm thankful for something that God did for me a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I thank him for something he did a long time ago. When you're going through something, thank him for something that he's already brought you through.
Yes. I promise you, I think you might have been in my notes on my iPad. I just write down things sometimes, just when I sit back and chill and just meditate and just have a moment to myself, you know, step away, take a step out of Africa for a minute outside of these 120 degree days, and I'll just come here to my room and, you know, I'll either cut on my diffuser and either sit here and take notes or just sit down and just breathe, you know, and just take everything one step at a time. Because although tough times are going to come, that's when, you know, I've always said when tough times are arising, that's when you know you're preparing for change. Because a lot of people want change, and a lot of people are trying to work towards change. But sometimes when that difficult time or situation approaches them or appears in their life, they tend to run from it. But to encounter change, or to fully conform or change, you're going somewhere or placing yourself somewhere you've never been. So it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have battles that you've never endured. You're going to be placed in situations in which you've never seen, thought of, or have any type of layout as to how the hell you're going to get through it. But when you go through it and make it through that change, you can look back at it. And once you make it through, you're like, wow, it really wasn't that bad. I made it through and I got the job done, you know? So it's a wonderful thing to watch the growth and how you advance yourself. I know one of the things me and some of my guys out here are working on now, we're beginning a 8-week fitness plan where we all decided we're going to cut some of our, all of our unhealthy habits out of the way, right? And work out daily. The thing about it is resisting temptations. So it's easy to set those goals and say, okay, we're gonna watch what we eat. We're gonna cut out the bad and insert more good. But at the same time, while we set that standard for each other, we're not going to always be around each other to, hey, man, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. Remember, we made this deal, you know. So when you're by yourself, it seems like that's the time when temptation arises the most. So you have to have that strong mindset to be able to stay focused. Know why you began the journey and envision yourself at the end of that journey to get through it. You know, and just based off of everything you shared with me today and on the show, it definitely shows that you had your mindset, you had your goals set, and you saw yourself in the position and each position that you gained along the way to obtaining that top position before you even arrived on scene. And yeah, so it's all about manifesting your destiny.
Exactly. Seeing yourself there and doing the work.
Yes.
To get there.
Yeah, because it's not, you can manifest all day. You can see yourself all day getting to whatever goal you have set or goals that you have set for yourself. But if you're not putting in the work, it's just going to be exactly that. You're just going to keep envisioning it and it's not going to come to you. You know, but I definitely appreciate you being on with me today and sharing.
Jacob.
Oh yeah, and definitely sharing everything from your journey all the way up to your highest peak of your career and all of your successes along the way.